Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From here on out, everything will proceed as one might expect. All of the characters will be straight, white men.
You're hearing an excerpt from the play Straight White Men, currently playing at the Marin Theater Company, and the story revolves around a family gathering where the festive cheer between a widowed father and his three adult sons is broken apart when somebody poses a fraught question. Joining us now to discuss the play and its theme of toxic masculinity and privilege is the Obie Award-winning playwright, Young Jean Lee. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Director Morgan Gould, who's here with us in studio. Welcome, Morgan Gould.
Hi, thanks.
So let me begin, if I may, with you, Young Jean Lee. And you have had quite a career, and I want to talk about it. But let's talk about this play first, because I just saw it last night, and I was telling Morgan off the air that it did have quite an impact. The audience was very celebrative and almost ecstatic in many points and so forth. There's a good deal of humor. I would almost say call it a serio comic play, though. I mean, there's very serious themes, obviously, but there's a good deal of comedy and festivity.
Yes, that sounds like a good description of it.
Okay, this just needed you to confirm my own critical view or my own genre placing or whatever it is here. But let's talk about the conception of the play.
It was a drama. No,
it is a drama, and it's a drama that's kind of a traditional drama. I mean, you're talking about straight white men playwrights who don't write the kind of plays you write, right?
Sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, let me rephrase it then. I'm saying the play was written with maybe playwrights like Arthur Miller in mind or traditional and conventional American playwrights who write about the family and write in a linear way and write in a naturalistic way, as opposed to the kind of the more experimental and innovative plays that you've written in the past.
Yes. I wanted to use the straight white men of the theater genres, which I saw as the three-act, you know, family play, family drama. And I wanted to use that to sort of see what the limits of that form were as I was exploring the limits of the content, which is straight white male identity.
Well, a straight white male identity from a woman of Korean background, Korean-American background, might be seriously satirized, lampooned, whatever. But you seem to care about these characters, and you seem to have, as a playwright, a good deal of empathy and identification with them, despite the toxic male values that particularly a couple of the brothers hold.
Well, you know, I feel like for playwrights generally, we sort of have to inhabit our characters in order to write them. So I had to ask myself, if I were to wake up tomorrow morning in the body of a straight white male, you know, what would I do? And the play sort of all stemmed from that, you know, and also, like, I was thinking about how there's a history of plays in which straight white men behave in very brutish and offensive ways, and that seemed like something audiences are very familiar with. And I think that the type of men, straight white men, who are depicted in this play are kind of a new type of straight white man whom people aren't really used to seeing on the stage.
Well, Morgan Gould, let me go to you on this, because there's a good deal of challenge for a director. You've got these guys that breaking out in a song and doing these numbers and everything. And so one of them, especially the Oklahoma number, is very funny, I must say.
I'm honored.
But they're likable guys. I mean, and even one of the brothers, who can be kind of harsh in some of his comments, says all these things about white privilege.
Yeah, I mean, one of the really fun parts about working on the play with a group of straight white male actors is, in our case, all our dudes are really sweet guys. They really identify with these guys. And the people that you see in the play are our brothers, our friends, our uncles. Like, they're people that those of us in liberal circles are really familiar with. And so I think that's a real strength in the play and something that's really fun to dive into. And it's also where the humor comes from, because I think that it confronts a lot of notions we have as more left-leaning people, that we think we've sort of checked this box of, you know, now we're evolved past being, as Young Jean just put it, brutish, straight white guys. But that is really long lingering, and that the patriarchy is still lives with us all the time, even when we think we've shaken it.
So. Well, speaking of patriarchy, the father is maybe one of the most likable characters of all, and also a funny character in many ways. But from a director's standpoint, I was thinking about the fact there's a lot of jumping around. There's a lot of vacuuming. There's a lot of that kind of activity going on. And yeah. It must be hard to orchestrate all that and to decide on the timing, particularly of those kinds of things.
I mean, I guess that's the fun part. So it's funny. I feel like that's the joy and fun of this play and of a lot of Young Jean's work is those really spontaneous moments of comedy. And I really feel like Young Jean can feel free to differ, but I feel like I really understand her sense of humor and what the absurdity is and what the humor actually is.
You've worked with her before.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We worked together for like 6 years? Six. Yeah.
Yeah. A really long time. And Morgan was my, second in command. She was my associate director, and she is such a genius with physical comedy and movement that I would just, she would just do all of that stuff in the shows. And so, like, the idea of her doing an entire play of mine, it just makes me so happy.
Well, let's talk with Morgan a bit about what this play is about. I don't want to give away too much here, but we've already mentioned it's a father and three sons. It's all these straight white men. And there's a lot of fun in it and a lot of kidding around and sort of testosterone play of one sort or another. But there's also at the heart of the play a serious concern about one of the brothers who breaks down. I don't want to give away too much here,
sure.
But, that's just a fact because that's the fulcrum of the play and that's where the suspense lies. What's he breaking down about,
Mm-hmm.
And the audience is drawn in by that.
Yeah. Well, I think the audience is often it's funny. I had a woman last night who came to see it say, "Who do you side with?" Young Jean probably knows this. I'm a Jake. I'm Team Jake, who's the brother that is always like, "Whatever, he's a martyr. Who cares? Just get yours." And he's the most strident of the three brothers, I think.
He's the banker.
Yeah, he's the banker. I'm the banker.
The banker with the social conscience.
I'm the one who's like, "What a loser." When dealing with it with the guys, we really talked about how actually everything would have been fine if the other two brothers had never come home to witness this, that the relationship of the adult son living with his father is actually going well and is actually fine. But it's the masculine witnessing that toxifies the situation, and that if those other brothers had never come home and placed their values on this arrangement between the older brother who's moved home and the father.
Who's taking care of his father,
Who's taking care of his father, who's not like that ill yet, but like, they're companions, that the play would never have happened, that nothing was actually inherently wrong with their arrangement until it became about other people measuring that brother who lives at home by their own standards.
And again, we're talking about Straight White Men. It's now playing at the Marin Theater Company. Playwright Young Jean Lee is with us and director Morgan Gould. And Young Jean Lee, you've got the distinction of being the first Asian-American woman on Broadway as far as a playwright is concerned. Pretty heady stuff, I would imagine. In fact, I think, wasn't Armie Hammer in that original production, a guy from Call Me By...
He's in the Broadway production. Right
yeah,
now.
That's what I meant. Yeah, but it debuted on Broadway in what, 2014?
No.
It
debuted at the Public Theater in New York.
Ah, okay. But you were on Broadway. I mean, you made it to Broadway, right?
No, this is my Broadway debut right now. Straight White Men is on Broadway. It's going to open for previews on June 29th.
Okay, I'm glad we sorted that out. Thank you. But let's go back to your background because I also found fascinating the fact that you studied, I believe, with Steve Greenblatt, who's been on the show a few times,
mm-hmm.
And wanted to be, loved Shakespeare, but didn't love the academic life. And let me see if I have the story straight. You went to a therapist because you weren't sure what you wanted to do with your life. And the story, I guess you've told it probably a number of times, said, if you could be anything, what would it be? And you said a playwright, but it came out of nowhere.
Yes, that's what happened.
So maybe there was something operating in your unconscious that made you fulfill that, or how did that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that I was studying Shakespeare because I unconsciously wanted to be a playwright, and I think the reason why it stayed in my unconscious was just and I think this is also part of the reason why there haven't been Asian American more Asian American people in theater before is I think that it's a combination of, you know, of course, like racism, but also just culturally, you know, a lot of first generation immigrant parents do not encourage their kids to go into the arts. They want us to, you know, be financially stable. And so I think that, you know, it was just the idea of being an artist was never even feasible to me.
Well, talk about being the daughter of Asian American parents. First of all, I want to know if you had brothers, but also I want to know, because of the play you've written here, I also want to know about a statement you made that children of Asian American parents, that takes in a big continent, by the way, are brain damaged. What do you mean by that?
Oh, that was part of a satire called Songs of the Dragons Flying to Heaven. And that was a play that was basically satirizing you know, racist images and stories around Asian American people, and also satirizing the ways in which Asian American identity politics traditionally plays out.
So where did you come upon the notion? Let's talk about the play that we're centering on here. And by the way, if you listeners have seen the play, we want to hear your thoughts, or perhaps you might weigh in here on masculinity and what kind of impact it's had on a family relationship that you've been in, what's called often toxic masculinity, because that's really at the center of the play. But we're also talking about masculinity in terms of success and failure, aren't we, young Jean Lee?
Yes.
I mean, I think that could be in some ways the real fulcrum for your play.
It's not just masculinity, it's just capitalism. Right? Like underlying our entire society is a value system that is very much based on financial success. And that can conflict sometimes with social justice aims that people have.
Yeah, let me hear from listeners on that, your thoughts, particularly thinking about something I read about Death of a Salesman once, which is one of those straight white male plays that we've been talking about. And it was an article in Ms. Magazine about someone who saw an old friend that he hadn't seen in years, and the old friend took off and ran the other way. And he suddenly occurred to him, this is in something called The Mail Corner, which I wrote for many years ago too, said it suddenly occurred to him that they had talked about their dreams and possibilities and so forth. And the guy looked like he was down and out and homeless, and therefore he couldn't face up to his friend from the past who he had shared all these ambitious ideas with of where he would go in life. That's kind of in part what the play is about. I think there are a lot of themes in it, though. And if you've seen it, let us know what your thoughts are. Or if you want to talk about what is, as I said, often characterized as toxic masculinity, impact on your family relationships, let us know your thoughts. You can join us now at our toll-free number. We invite you to do that. The toll-free number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, please join the program at 866-733-6786 or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Many ways you can join us. Talking about Straight White Men, now playing at the Marin Theater Company with playwright Young Jean Lee and director Morgan Gould, and indeed interested in hearing your thoughts, if you've seen the play, about the play, or if you have some thoughts about at least one of the many myriad number of themes in the play, which has to do with I'm a little reluctant to keep using toxic masculinity here, but certainly values that are attached to success and ambition and making money. And let me go back to you, Morgan Gould, if I can,
sure.
Because you've got a couple of characters in this play that are there, well, sort of on the sidelines. What's the conception here? This is more experimental, really, isn't it?
Well, in the piece, Young Jean has two characters named People in Charge, Person in Charge 1 and Person in Charge 2, who are meant to be played by not straight white men. And in our case, we have Jay, who plays Person in Charge 1, and he's an amazing gender nonconforming performer. And we have Ari Evans, who is a cisgendered queer white woman, and they are both amazing in the show. And I think they provide a lens for the audience to see that there's a sect of a huge swath of the population that's not allowed to be in these like straight white male plays, and watching them control the space and introduce us to this very like white male construct, I think adds a layer that is really smart that Young Jean has put on the play, so that you can't just watch it comfortably as full naturalism, and you can't just engage with it as you would.
Well, they come out even before the play starts.
Yeah, yeah. They're like patrolling around in the beginning, handing out earplugs.
Let me read a comment from a listener who is critical of, well, let me read the comment straight. This is Ford, who says, "This talk about white privilege is sheer nonsense and quite dishonest. It is being pushed by rich people who will never give up any real advantages or assets to poor people or people of color. Not on the agenda of rich people are affordable housing, improvements to schools in poor communities, improvements to public transportation." Youngjin Lee, want to comment?
I actually agree with most of that. I think the only part that I don't agree with is the suggestion that poor white people don't have white privilege. They definitely don't have economic privilege, but there are privileges that poor white people have as well, like, you know, many having to do with their treatment by the police and the prison system and the legal system. But that aside, I absolutely agree 100% that there are many well-to-do people who complain about white privilege, and they do not care at all about economic inequality. And I think that that is a serious problem. And that's actually something I'm addressing in my play that I'm writing now.
You want to respond to this, Morgan Gould?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think that privilege is really intersectional. Like, you know, I have a lot of white privilege, but I also, as a woman, you know, have things where my privilege has limitations. And I think, you know, race, class, like, ability, so many things play into privilege. So I agree with that person. I definitely think that a lot of that we don't love to talk about class as a form of privilege, and we don't like to talk about how class, race, and gender presentation affect us, you know, in different ways. So I agree with that person, and I agree with Youngjin.
And another listener writes, "What privilege does is twofold. It flatters and it blinds. It blinds one to what those without it must endure, and it tells one that one's a lot better because of being better." Agree with that also?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, I have, you know, I know a lot of people in the entertainment industry who have worked with, like, really, really famous and important people, and they... at a certain point in your career, if you get famous enough, you can find yourself just completely surrounded by yes people, just people who flatter and praise every step that you take. And it's actually, like, incredibly terrible for those artists' work because they never actually hear any criticism. And I feel like that's just kind of, you know, one of the negative side effects of privilege.
You know, Tennessee Williams wrote about that, about all of his success with his first play and how he had to get hardened against it because people were too flattering and too sycophantic, and he really wanted to continue to write out of whatever pain or whatever was boiling and bubbling inside of him. And that brings up an interesting question I'd like to ask you, Youngjin Lee, and that is, how much of your own work has to do, because there's, you know, a kind of lightness and humor to the work as well, but how much of it, and there's a didacticism, let me add that just for the record too. I'd like to hear what you have to say about being didactic, but how much of it comes out of pain?
Well, first of all, I would say that I, like, if anything, my work has been criticized for not being didactic. I think people would, because I'm dealing with political topics, I think a lot of people would prefer that my shows have clear political messages. And my plays don't actually have that. Like, you know, if you walk out, you will be sort of hard pressed to sum up the message of the play. And so I think, you know, I think that all of the plays do come out of a place of pain and recognizing the pain of people around me and sort of addressing that and raising all of the problems around that and, you know, trying to get people to think.
And I would say the single greatest criticism we've received at the theater this week is people just not being able to find a tidy answer, which I think is a real strength in the piece. But it's frustrating because I don't think Youngjin does come down on a side, quote unquote, and it isn't didactic. It's asking you to think about the problem and wrestle with it rather than posing a solution.
Yeah, but some of your favorite character speeches have to do with specifically with...
I like solutions.
Yeah, no, but there are solutions about white privilege and all. It has some very strong sentiments that come through there, and they come through to some extent as didactic. at least from that character.
Well, I think that Young Jean is a master of, she writes characters that are didactic, but I don't think the play is didactic, which I think is different. I also think it would be really weird to write.
You're separating the characters from the play?
Oh, sure, of course. And I think that, you know, it would be funny, as a woman, I feel that it would be really a misstep to write a play about straight white men and not have some of it be didactic in terms of the characters. I think I have a few moments that we really carved out as like mansplaining moments. But I think that's part of the humor of the play, but also a truth that those characters hold. But that doesn't mean that the play is didactic, even if someone in the play is being didactic.
Well, let me ask you another question, though, because it's one that concerns me, because I actually have taught courses in American drama. It's hard to find women playwrights. I mean, the canon has been so, it's not true about women poets, it's not true about women novelists or women fiction writers. I mean, we've got Lillian Hellman, we've had Lauren Gunderson on this program. But when you're talking about playwrights of Young Jean Lee, notwithstanding, you're talking about, other than a few in Britain like Carol Churchill or Tina Howe, contemporary American women playwrights I'm talking about, they don't stand out. You start talking about people like O'Neill, Williams, whom I mentioned, Arthur Miller, Sam Shepard, David Mamet. These are the playwrights who seem to rule the roost when it comes to American playwriting. And that's changing, I realize, and thank heavens it's changing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to name some. Wendy Wasserstein is of that, that level and ilk, I think.
And Entesaka Shange. I mean, there are certainly.
For sure. But, and you know, also now we have like Annie Baker, Claire Barron. We have we have Lynn Nottage. I mean, those, you know, Susan Laurie Parks. I mean, I think
Paula Vogel.
Yeah, Paula Vogel, Sarah Rule. Yeah.
No, there's some great playwrights in the main. But what do you think has kept women out of the world of major playwrights for so long, Young Jean Lee?
Sexism, I guess.
The easy answer, yeah, sexism. But it didn't happen in poetry, like I said, or in the novel as much as it seemed to happen on, especially on Broadway. And you've got, I'm wondering about any changes you're going to have now to the play that you're staging on Broadway. That was a play that was written years ago, 2014. You changing any of it in the current political climate?
Oh, yeah, I'm the part about the people in charge, that is changing to better fit the performers who we got to play those parts. And we're just tweaking little lines here and there, but most of the script is staying the same from the Steppenwolf version, because we changed almost everything from the version of the public when we went to Steppenwolf, and now that version will mostly be intact when we present it on Broadway.
And any, for example, desire to bring in things like Me Too and that sort of, you're not going to make it up to date in that way, I guess, huh?
No, I tend not to make my plays too topical, because then they're just outdated so quickly.
And so can you talk, you were going to do a dissertation on King Lear, and you wrote a play called Lear. Talk about the influence of Lear, which is such an extraordinary and profound tragedy, on you as a playwright.
Oh, well, Shakespeare in general had a huge impact on me, just because, you know, I feel like he's very misunderstood in the American theater. I think people think of him as the ultimate canonical, traditional playwright. And to me, he was, you know, wildly experimental. And his plays, many of them were based on plays that had already been written in his time by writers who are now anonymous. Like, we don't even know who wrote those plays. And Shakespeare kind of stole the stories, and he just exploded them and made them really wild and inventive. And so I think of Shakespeare as an experimental playwright. And, you know, he just loved having crazy characters and fools. And, you know, I just thought, that's just how I think of him, and why I've been attracted to more experimental theater.
And Morgan Gould, you're obviously also attracted to experimental theater as a director.
I guess so.
So are you looking for a particular kind of play now to direct, or?
You know, I really, my taste runs the gamut. I also write my own work too, so that's mostly what I'm looking to do.
And Young Jean Lee directs as well, right?
Yeah, Young Jean directs all her own work, and so I'm heavily influenced by that too, because I think that when artists really have the ability to, you know, control everything from the top to the bottom, more like a little mini showrunner for the theater, I tend to think that the work is more interesting when the lines of collaboration are a little more blurred. And I think that Young Jean you know, in my experience working with her and seeing her at work, really does that really successfully. She lets the actors empower their performances, and she shapes things and shifts things to fit them. And I think when you're a writer director, you can do that a little more readily.
Any director you especially admire or emulate?
Lots. I'm really excited.
Who's right at the top?
I think that Pam McKinnon coming to act is amazing, and you guys are so lucky, and she is phenomenal. And I've had the great privilege of assisting her several times, and she is a wonderful artist and just such a smart mind and great taste and a lovely collaborator. And you guys are so lucky to have her out here.
Well, we have to welcome her officially by getting her on the forum program. Yeah. We're going to a couple of calls here. But before I do, young Jean Lee, you didn't answer my question because I didn't perhaps I embedded it in a few other questions. But do you have brothers?
No, I'm an only child.
Okay. I just wanted to get that for the record because I was curious and seeing the play. Badir is our caller from Santa Clara first up. Hi.
Hello. Hi. Congratulations on all the director and playwright here on your successes. I'm just curious how the show ended up at the Marin Theater versus any other theater in the Bay Area.
Either one of you can tackle that, I presume. Morgan?
I mean, you'd probably have to ask the artistic director, Jason. But I think that they were interested in putting it at Marin because they knew that it featured actually like liberal, somewhat well-off white, straight white men. And I think they thought that would be interesting in that community. But young Jean actually might know more about that than me because she's more part of the
selection. I know about Jason looking for good plays.
Yes,
I mean, he's been doing that for years.
Always.
Young Jean?
I actually have no idea. Like, I just heard from them that they wanted to do it. And that was basically it.
They came to you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You got a new play. Can you tell us about it as we come up toward the end of this segment, young Jean Lee?
Yes. The play that I'm working on right now is about economic inequality in this country and how that intersects with race and how, you know, people who are concerned with social justice and identity politics, but who come from privileged backgrounds can sometimes not have the class awareness in this country. And those are just all the sort of themes of the play. And I don't want to get into specifics yet because it's too early and it might change.
Well, I know a lot of listeners are probably thinking, where does she come from originally? It's Pullman, Washington are your roots, right?
Yes, that's where I grew up.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because you're talking about so much in terms of white privilege and class and all these things that have been important themes in your work. And congratulations on the work you've done and the recognition, which includes an Obie and a number of other awards. Good to have you with us. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
That's young Jean Lee. She's a writer, director, and filmmaker, playwright who gave us Straight White Men, which is at the Marin Theater. And Morgan Gould, thank you for joining us.
You are so welcome. It's a pleasure.
Morgan Gould is the director of Straight White Men. And we are Forum, and we are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Remind you, you can always let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum or would like to hear by emailing us, forum@kqed.org. Tomorrow, we're going to talk with the author of The Perfect Weapon. That's David Sanger, New York Times columnist and writer, and we'll hear all about cyber weaponry in this hour tomorrow. For all of us at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.